soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings of love from the island of Kauai to Infinite Way students around the world. Every meditation we have together and every class brings us closer and closer in many ways, especially to the permanent God experience. There is a feeling that together we have been ordained to step out of mortality up to the high ground of sonship. And now it is our function, individually and as a group, to establish a beachhead on eternal life. Our path is illumined by the light of our own infinite soul. Our guide is Christ within. Our resolve is strengthened by the knowledge that grace is our constant, invisible companion. And as we look around this world now, through the mist of human vision, we see nations at war. We see economies tottering. We see tornadoes and other natural disasters sweeping across the land. And we see pestilence ravaging the crop of the farmer. But that's not all. Recently, a television commentator declared more than 100 million Americans will die in a nuclear war, and at least as many Russians. And what is being done, he inquired, to prevent such a holocaust? It was a very good question, what is being done? Because, very strangely, the only plan that was ever devised to protect man against an atomic disaster has been totally overlooked by presidents, prime ministers, premiers, and defense ministers of all nations on our earth. God's plan for the survival of man has been scrapped. It has simply been discarded. It has been rejected by every generation since before Abraham. That plan was offered to mankind long before science discovered the destructive power in atoms. And that plan was demonstrated centuries before fission and before fusion. But today, more clearly than ever before, the divine plan for salvation and survival is coming clearly into view. Unfortunately, human plans always fall short of the mark, and even noble human aspirations ultimately fail. We can see the tragedy of Jack Kennedy, of Martin Luther King, of Anwar Sadat, all tried to do something for their nation, for their people, for the world, in their own way. But at the height of their glory, and against their own will, they were snatched away from their unfinished life work, unable to control their own destiny, unable to fulfill their high and noble ideals. So it is with all men and women who live material lives in mortal bodies. There are no real exceptions. All mortals are slaves to the cosmic mind, chained to death, because they have not accepted the secret of survival demonstrated by the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Death could not embrace him. Burial in a tomb after death could not confine him. And if he had lived today and had been assassinated like Kennedy, King, or Sadat, would he not have reappeared again in a living spiritual body as before? And if he did walk this visible earth today and some mad dictator exploded an atomic bomb on his body, would the result be different? Would not his immortal body shine forth wherever there is a soul consciousness communing with spiritual reality? Can anything else happen than life continuing in its perfection? Do you see the point? It will soon dawn upon mankind that by surviving crucifixion and burial, Christ was demonstrating how human beings can survive an atomic holocaust and every other form of death, evil, and corruption. And when the secret of Christ becomes the secret of man, then the atom will lose its false power to threaten or to terminate the lives of the inhabitants of this earth. That secret was revealed to two illumined souls on earth at the time when Jesus Christ was a mere babe, just a few days old. The world is walked by them just as it is walked by the divine plan. One soul was named Simeon. Remember him? And the other soul was Anna. And Luke tells us, "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel." Luke uses this esoteric terminology to tell you that Simeon had soul vision, and that Simeon could see through the veil of matter. And Simeon was led by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He was connecting the babe with salvation. What does this mean spiritually? It means that through soul vision, Simeon had seen the deepest secret of the Bible. He had witnessed the salvation of mankind right there. And he proceeded to clarify that point by saying, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Within his soul, Simeon saw something. And that something made him ready for his own translation out of this world. What did he see when he looked at a baby no more than 8 days old? Well, one thing you can be sure of, and that is that Simeon, in his soul, was not looking at a baby in swaddling clothes. He was not looking at a physical infant born in a material womb. Oh, no. Even Simeon himself, the man, was not there. His soul was not limited to the illusion of human life. His soul was seeing what no human eye can ever see. It was seeing the very same spiritual body that the soul of Mary saw in the garden 3 years later, after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And animating this eternal spiritual body, the soul of Simeon saw the divine life of every man, woman, and child who has ever walked this earth. He saw the life that lives forever. He saw the invisible life of God face to face in his soul. And we're told that the Holy Ghost revealed that Simeon should not see death himself until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that means until he had seen the divine life of the incorporeal body, meaning that the inner awareness of this truth is the secret of transition for every individual on earth. That's the importance of Simeon. He was privileged to look into the kingdom of God on earth and to witness the radiant celestial body of Christ and the infinite divine life, which is the secret of survival and salvation for all sons of the resurrection. Where human vision could only see an infant body of matter that lives for a single lifespan, the uplifted vision of Simeon beheld the never born, never dying, incorporeal body of the Son of Man, the Son of Spirit, in which divine life flows eternally. And Simeon's recognition of this divine life as the infinite life of all men lifted him beyond the power of death. So with you, so with her, so with him, so with me, so with mankind, so with everyone who is lifted into the consciousness that human life is only a cosmic mind imitation of the pure substance of God, which is divine life. Where every individual human life appears, the one infinite divine life is. Where every temporary human body appears, the one eternal body of spirit is. Simeon saw a life unknown to mortal man. He saw the immortal life of man, the immortal life that can never know death. And Luke preserved that vision in chapter 2 of his gospel. But there's more. There was one Anna, a prophetess. And she was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. Again, esoteric terminology to tell you something very special. 7 years from her virginity means she had removed the 7 veils of the cosmic mind, which are taught in the Revelation of St. John. 84 is another double play. It means she had attained the kingdom that lieth 84. And notice how 84, which is given as her age, add up to 12 when you take away the zeros. 4 times 20, 80, and then 4. 4 and 8, 12. And what is 12? The symbol of infinity, meaning Anna represents infinite Christ consciousness. And she, coming in that instant, notice those words, in that instant, that means that Anna lived in the now, in reality, not in passing time. And she coming in that instant, in her infinite Christ consciousness, like Simeon, Anna saw the perfect divine life of mankind right here on earth, just as in heaven, just as in spiritual consciousness. Both Simeon and Anna saw infinite life that can never be touched by an atom bomb or a germ or a disaster. This remarkable inner vision of Simeon and Anna, recognized by Luke, was announced to the world 30 years later by Jesus himself. When he told us that when you see him, you see the Father. Can you think of a better way to say, I am divine life? Search the scripture, he said. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Now me, used by Jesus, means divine life. Come to me means come to divine life. Coming to me means accepting divine life where you stand as your life, your infinite life now, your real life. For 3 full years, divine life was the daily message given by Christ Jesus to the world. Stop calling me good. That's human talk. I'm not a corporeal human being. I am your own eternal life made visible. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and go in and out and find pasture. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on the Son may have everlasting life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Take every I spoken by Jesus and every me spoken by Jesus and substitute divine life for those words, and you have the secret message of survival and salvation for each individual who opens his soul to the presence of his own divine life. Divine life, appearing to mankind as the form called Jesus, was saying to you, atomic bombs and atomic radioactivity may threaten you. All forms of world powers may attack you. But continue in my word. Continue living your divine life now, every day, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth of my divine life, realized as your divine life, will make you free. Let us be still with that. And maybe our little bird friend will meditate with us. Divine life now is the same life, the same divine life that Jesus Christ was living and bringing forth in various exciting, dramatic demonstrations as the present life of all who walk the earth. There has been no termination of that divine life and no separation from it, and there has been no other life since or before. The life of God functioning through Jesus Christ is the life of you now. That is the glory and the beauty and the salvation of the living message of Christ. And as this becomes the cornerstone of your consciousness, the foundation of your daily life, the joy of your being, the confidence in your heart, you will walk with God on this earth in oneness, letting that divine life replace your obsolete sense of a human life, separated from the infinite source of all life. Right now, right here, as always, your divine life is the key. Not only to transition, but to overcoming every evil known to man. Divine life is the way. Divine life is the door. Divine life is the truth. And divine life, realized, lived in, accepted, trusted, is the resurrection. Yes, not only is divine life the way, but there is no other way. And it may just surprise you to discover that your divine life and the kingdom of God are one and the same. The kingdom of God within you is your divine life. It has always been here, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet, waiting for you to lay down the dream of mortality. I, divine life, am come not to judge the world, but to save it. I, divine life, am come that ye might have life a new kind of life, a life more abundant than human life. I, divine life, am come not to tell you about the wonders of heaven after you die, but to demonstrate that your divine life is what heaven is. They are one and the same. And because your divine life is today, heaven is today, not in a geographical remote area, in some unforeseeable future tomorrow. Here on earth, now, ready, your divine life is capable of shattering all fear, all illusion, all limitation that we have accumulated into the group consciousness by living in human lives, brainwashed into a sleep that inevitably ends in death. Arise, says the Spirit. Stop ignoring your divine life. Stop squandering your substance. Stop sowing to the human flesh that perishes. Enter the new consciousness of divinity, and the waters of truth will grace your life with treasures that time nor age will ever tarnish. This is our third class in the Living Incorporeally series. And Spirit is pouring forth love into the deepest sanctuary of your soul, clothing you in the robe of your own true identity, cradling you in the divine life that dispels the blindness of human eyes and the vanity of human ambition and the inevitable disillusionment of all human life. My Father loveth me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. There you have the call to every dedicated soul. Lay down your sense of a limited human life. Pick up your divine life here and now, until you overcome the illusion of mortal boundaries, mortal limitations, mortal finiteness, mortal inadequacies, mortal lacks, mortal fears and frustrations. This is the path of perfection, sanctified by the Father, that you may walk in the light of life with God. It is through the door of divine life that we walk out of humanhood. It is through the door of divine life that we walk out of death. And if we are wise, we never look back. Do you remember when Abraham was in soul consciousness and heard the voice, the soundless sound? What did it say? Get out of thy country and from thy kindred unto a land that I will show thee. Way back in Genesis, get out of thy country meant out of human life. Kindred meant human beings who believe in matter. New land meant entering divine life in the incorporeal, immortal body of spirit. Moses, too, realized, I am not this human I am. I am the divine I am. Jesus said, pick up your cross, follow me. Me means divine life. Pick up your cross and follow divine life. Paul taught, the seed of humanhood must die, that divinity may live. And John revealed that all who accept divine life are born again, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but are born of the will of God. In this spiritual tradition, we stand today on the high ground of truth, willing to yield the human ego all personal goals and ambitions, all human concepts and mental outlines. We stand willing and eager to accept identity as divine life, receptive and trusting that divine life to manifest its own eternal perfection wherever we appear. Again, let us enter the silence like Abraham. Let us open our soul to divine life. Let us be quickened in God's will out of the quicksand of mortality. Let your own divine life unfold in all its purity. Let it express in a world that too long has stumbled in the shadows of the cosmic mind. Long have we traveled through darkness, knocking at strange doors, seeking the light that shines forever, searching, searching, searching for what we know not, yet feeling that somewhere there is an undying kingdom of righteousness where love is the law, where joy is the nectar of life, where truth and beauty interflow like streams bubbling down to a river without beginning or end. Yes, we have searched through many lifespans, and if our soul has felt the touch of the ghost and has trembled at the presence of divine life, we have found more than we ever dreamed we would find. In our soul, we have found the infinite house that we really never left. In our soul, we are awakening to our own infinity, to the eternal day that is forever. I think John said it for us at the very beginning of his gospel, but in words that the world passed by. Let's interpret those words in light of divine life. Let's see the glory that John preserved for every human soul. In the beginning was divine life, and divine life was with God, and divine life was God, and divine life shineth in the darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Divine life was in the world, and the world was made by divine life. And the world knew it not. Divine life came unto its own, and its own received it not. But as many as received it, to them divine life gave power to be the sons of God, which were reborn, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And divine life was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld its glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You have actually just heard your own autobiography, the story of your real life. And now, how shall we accept divine life? To be divine life or not to be divine life is the question, isn't it? Or to be a foolish mortal, as we have been in the past. Choose ye, divine life or human life. That's the question. And so, our study, from this day forward, is to learn methods, techniques, attitudes, thought patterns, ways to shuffle off this mortal coil, to divest ourselves of the human thought patterns, actually, to learn how to bypass the cosmic mind. Across the ocean we see a war. Across every ocean it seems there's another place for war. Everywhere we see religions fighting religions, races fighting races, color fighting color. It makes you wince when you know that divine life is the life of all. I would like to look at the Falklands situation. I spoke to a friend, I think it may have been yesterday. I said to this friend in England, could you tell me in a few words what is the attitude of England toward the Falklands issue? The words came back almost immediately. We want peace. That is our one desire, peace. But there is a principle involved here. And to put it in telegram words, that would sum up our attitude. In our meditation for the Falklands issue, right now, we want to turn all human life involved in the Falklands war over to divine life in our consciousness. We are not here to say one is right and one is wrong. If God cannot judge humanity, neither can we. Everywhere there is a war, there has to be someone who thinks he's right and someone who thinks the other one is wrong. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a war. There is a principle involved. And it is important to meet that principle right where it is. And that principle is only divine life is here. Only divine life exists. And when we have discovered the truth of that principle in our consciousness, then whoever appears as wrong will withdraw, and right will prevail. In our quietness, we are standing in our soul. We are not looking at men at war. We are not looking at the shedding of human blood. We are not looking at an attacker. We are not looking at one who is defending himself against an attack. We are looking only at the reality and not the human reality. We are standing in the eternal now, letting divine vision replace human vision, letting divine mind replace a human mind. We are bypassing the cosmic mind, which would make us judges of men. We see no evil. We see no human good. We see the kingdom of God. It has no battlefield. We see the earth that is the Lord's. We see divine law maintaining the peace, harmony, and perfection of that earth. We see no human shadows. We dwell only in the one infinite life of God, which is everywhere, omnipresent. Gone are the warriors, gone are the victims. Gone is all matter, whether it be the form of a person, an airplane, or a warship. Gone are the bullets, gone are the missiles. There's no place for them in the kingdom of God. Do we know another place? We are resting in the glory of one divine kingdom, one divine life, undivided. Individual forms have no existence in the one undivided life of the Father. Like Abraham, we are leaving the country of matter, leaving our kindred, those who believe in matter. We are going to a new land, a land which is created and maintained by the very substance of God. And in this inner acknowledgement of one divine life, we see no allies or enemies. We see no one joining forces with one side or the other. We see no proliferation. We do not see 17 nations saying, this side is right. We do not see a UN saying, this must be done. We do not see, feel, or hear, or know that which is not of God. What is thy will, Father? And the Father answers, my will is being done. What could set aside my will? Do you think the visible activity of war is my will? And if it is not my will, do you think it is happening? Do you think there has ever been a war in my creation? Do you think there is something beside my creation? All war is illusion. All shedding of blood is illusion. All atomic bombs are illusion. Let mortal man live his illusion, but come forth. Step out of this cosmic mind illusion. Do not honor it with your belief. Maintain the purity of your consciousness in the face of all appearances. Speak, Father. Release in my soul the wisdom to see, to know, to feel, to receive only reality, to stand fast in the face of the lie that would have man believe there is other than your infinite divine life. Was there ever a civil war in the United States? Did Napoleon almost conquer Europe? Was Genghis Khan a villain? Why did Jesus, the invisible divine life of God, never attack the Roman Empire? All that the invisible divine life of God spoke against was the custom of religion, the sacrifices to a material God who does not exist, the external worship. Is there a war in Lebanon? Did Russia attack Afghanistan? If you could stand above the sands of time, you would see these cosmic thought patterns which men call war. You would see the cosmic thought patterns which have been labeled the death of civilizations and of men. You would see why, through Christ, we have been lifted to know that life has no opposite called death. Peace has no opposite called war. Harmony has no opposite called discord. Where are they? In the cosmic thought patterns that the human mind accepts unthinkingly, unknowingly, unsuspectingly, while it lives in a state of duality. Today is important for every individual who is trying to build a confidence in the presence of divine power. And you can build it only in one way. Do not expect divine power if you do not accept your divine life. That's where the divine power is. So make your adjustment, and make it every day. Unceasingly accept divine life. Be true to it, if you want it to be true to you. reread 2 chapters in Joel's book, Parenthesis in Eternity, the chapter titled Losing Inus and I and My Kingdom is Not of This World. Reread those chapters. Some of you have tapes that we made on those chapters years ago. I just reissued those in the new catalog that you received a couple of months back. So there are two tapes on that also. But read the chapters and either listen to the tapes you have or find them somewhere if you can. I'd be happy to send them to you. For in those chapters, Joel brings us into a way to drop the thought patterns of this world and to pick up the thought of divine consciousness. He calls it the third degree. You can now feel your soul opening up, bringing forth the light, living in the atmosphere of reality. You should be able to feel the scope, the vastness, the magnitude of your divine life. Unconfined to the room you're in, unconfined to geography, unconfined to time. And this is spiritual leverage. This is what dissolves the illusion of a war in the Falklands, a war in Lebanon, a war anywhere in the Middle East or the Far East or between major or minor powers. Only your divine life is there. And once you lose that knowledge, you lose your divine life. It may as well not exist for you because it can only serve you when you acknowledge it infinitely. And to acknowledge it infinitely, you must wipe out the acknowledgement of all else that appears where only divine life is. You are resting in your divine life where the world sees the Falklands. And you are knowing the purity and perfection of your divine life. And this will be the truth no matter what tomorrow's headline says. One infinite divine life, I am. And there is no other. This is precisely what God said when we heard, God is one, and beside me there is no other. So there can be no other. There can be no human life. No God life and another life. And this is the light that has been in this world waiting for man to say, yes, I accept, I understand. I am that life. Not the human life I thought I was. Laying down your human life that you may pick up your divine life. Is the way to divine law and eternal life. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of life, your life, which is my life. In this oneness, I rest without end.